Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
So, Cork are Munster champions, as we know. They beat Clare by 5 points on Sunday. But a new subplot. Footage has emerged of an individual dressed in Clare training gear who took a bag of slitters from behind the Cork goal and threw them into the Killinan End Terrace at Semple Stadium. The Clare management team, Donal Maloney and Gerry O'Connor, have apologised. They told Off the Ball they're extremely disappointed with what happened and that it should never have happened. And Cork have come out this evening as well and have said that they accept the apologies and we move on. It was very disappointing that this incident took place at Ger Lane, the Cork County Board Chairman. Dennis Walter, the Sunday Times, is on the line. It's all very devious, Dennis.
Yeah, it's a real... As you say, Joe, it was a real kind of subplot that nobody expected from last Sunday. It's kind of a contained blaze at this stage with one side holding their hands up and the other side saying fair enough. Look, I didn't see it, Joe, to be honest. I had my eyes glued to the ball that was in play, but it's unfortunate to say the least that it happened.
Yeah, it's the latest in a long line of slitter tampering in the GAA. There's a rich tradition of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't even say tampering, Joe, so much as just, there's been a real kind of, well, I mean, obviously, look, every so often there'd be some bit of tampering, maybe for want of a better word. I mean, there was a famous case way back in the 80s with Cork and Tip, you know, when, you know, the old slitter used to retain water and get very heavy. And at the time, Joe Cunningham was the Cork goalkeeper and he had the longest puck out of any goalkeeper in the game at the time. And Tipperary soaked a whole load of slitters in a bath overnight so that the ball would be so heavy the following day that Joe Cunningham wouldn't be able to hit it as far as he normally would. You know, and there was nothing necessarily against the rules in that because there was such a kind of... there were so many variables in the ball and there still are. But like going back the years, the balls varied from each manufacturer. There was different rim sizes, different depths, different widths, different weights. And even though it's in the official guide, there were parameters, you know, that each ball needs to be within these kind of within these parameters. You know, it wasn't policed and it wasn't necessarily observed. So there have always been these variables with the ball, and you know, it's always been an issue in, you know, in how the game is played.
Yeah, because it seemed up until the Special Congress in 2000, the only specifications for a slitter in the rule book referred to weight and diameter, yeah, and none of the other stuff you mentioned. So, I mean, up until 2000, it was Wild West territory.
Yeah, and I mean, for the last 15, 16 years, Pat Daly and Croke Park has really been driving towards producing a standardised slitter that everyone can, every player that plays the game will know how the ball's going to react, what properties it has, how high it'll bounce, how far it'll go, and so on and so forth. You know, they've been trying to eliminate the variables. You know, they've developed a core now that resists water. You know, they've come up with various kind of standardisation. You know, it's taken years and years. I mean, there's been people working on this in DCU for 4 or 5 years and in Waterford IT. You know, they've tried to come up with a way of making sure that every ball that is in play in championship is going to behave in a recognisable way. But, you know, they haven't quite got there yet. I mean, you know, you've gone from a situation, Joe, where the interior of a slitter used to be, you know, cork and yarn and, you know, all this kind of stuff that absorbs moisture and so on. Now it's a polyurethane core, most of which come from Pakistan. And, you know, it's bouncier. But even still, there are two or three different sources of polyurethane cores in Pakistan. So there are two or three different, you know, there are balls going around with different bounciness, for want of a better word.
Right.
And that's still a factor. The other factor, Joe, and this really is a big one, is the size of the rims. I mean, the way the game is played now with pinpoint puck outs, short stick passing, all that kind of stuff, that was impossible with the old ball where there was thick rims and, you know, it was really hard to be accurate to that degree. I mean, you see Anthony Nash now and all the top goalkeepers over the last 10, 12 years hitting puck out 70 yards to a target, you know, and being bang on most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, that was impossible with the old ball.
To what extent are there still different counties using very different slithers? And do we have a games where both counties are bringing their own preferred slither and there are therefore different types of slither being used? Depending on,
so absolutely. That's
still going on.
Yeah. I mean, what happens, Joe, is that the ball is the responsibility of the organising committee. So last Sunday, that was the Munster Council.
Yeah.
So referee brings the ball out. It gives balls to the umpires. The umpires are supposed to make sure that the goalkeeper only uses the balls that are approved for the game. Like, basically, every slither now, every manufacturer that wants to put balls into the marketplace needs to have their ball approved by Croke Park. It needs to go through a series of tests and get a stamp and approval.
Yeah.
Basically from Croke Park. So the Munster Council would have given the referee a ball last Sunday that, you know, met all the requirements, that met all the standards and so on. But, I mean, you'll see goalkeepers in every match bring a bag of balls into the goal, and those are the balls that they were training with.
Yeah.
Those are the balls that they feel comfortable and confident with. I remember a couple of years ago, I met Stephen O'Keefe, the Waterford goalkeeper, and he made a very interesting point. Like, this was only 2 years ago, and I mean, they've been doing tests for years. I might just read you a quote that he gave me at the time. He said, "There'll be a lot of variance in the slitters. Each team will have their own ball, even for training. Certain slitters are cheaper than others. Sometimes they get carried through to a game. There's a completely different strikes of different balls.
Right.
Feels different. It flies different. I wouldn't trust myself with a short puck out if it wasn't a ball I was used to. You wouldn't know how it will fly until you hit it." So, like, For the kind of game that Cork are playing with Anthony Nash, I mean, he would want a ball that he is comfortable with, that he knows how it will fly.
Because the GAA director of games, Pat Daly, was speaking to the Irish Examiner 2 years ago, I think, to John Fogarty, and he was saying, "We've had situations where people have presented us with the approved logo, but the slitters have never been previously tested." And I asked one guy, how in the name of God did he get a logo onto that slitter? Because it hadn't gone through the proper procedures. That's the sort of thing that's been going on.
And in fairness to Pat, I mean, he's an incredible innovator, and he has been for decades in the GAA. I mean, what they're doing at the moment, and they were hoping that it would be rolled out for this year, but it now looks like it'll be next year, is they're going to put a microchip in the balls. Now, they've been testing this again for the last couple of years, because they need a microchip that's not going to disintegrate, you know, from the ball being used, basically. So that, and the technology is there, and it's, you know, they've found a way of doing it. That so if you've got a smartphone, you can hold your smartphone over the, you know, there'll be an app or whatever. Mm. You'll hold your smartphone over the ball, and if the chip is in the ball, it's an approved ball, and it'll pick it up on the app. I mean, as you say, Joe, like, they brought in these stamps, these approved, you know, approved or whatever it is, Croke Park approved stamps, and they were just being forged. They were being forged on balls, and those balls were still in the system. My son went to the terrace last Saturday night and brought home a ball that went over the wire, and it was a ball that I'd never seen before. You know, so there were still loads of different manufacturers out there.
Are there? Right, okay. So we're doing like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that many more?
10 or 11, I mean. Right. I mean, there's definitely been a huge improvement, Joe. They've definitely made it tighter. The ball is travelling further than it ever travelled. And now that's definitely a factor. There's more scores in games than there ever has been. And that's because it's easier to score from 70 yards, 80 yards.
Funny, we spoke to Babs Keating about the dry ball for Tipperary Limerick in 1971, where it was lashing rain.
Yeah.
And Babs was a pains to tell us the whole thing had been exaggerated. But it was lashing rain against Limerick, and the ball had gone out of play, and there was a ball. He had to go and wipe his eye, was the issue. And so he ran off to wipe his eye because it was bleeding. But also at the same time, one of the backroom staff was there. I think his name was Neelan.
Donny Neelan.
And Donny had a dry ball shoved in his pocket. And so that was given to Babs, and the ball was driven home from 21 yards.
Well, it would have made a huge difference in those days, Joe, because, as I said, I mean, the balls were so heavy when they got wet. And you got these big thick rims, and they just behave differently. They just had different properties in the wet.
Yeah.
And a dry ball would have made such a huge difference for any dead ball situation, whether it was a free or a 65 or a penalty or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Babs's point was, look, we needed a new ball anyway, and he happened to have one, so that's all that happened. But the other thing, as an aside, and going back to your initial point there, Babs was saying he hates the how far the current ball is travelling. He's watching under 21 games and the ball's travelling 80, 90 yards and he thinks that shouldn't be happening. He doesn't like it at all.
Yeah, and I mean, Babs had a column with us in the Sunday Times for 14 years, and he was making this point 15 years ago. I mean, I suppose when Babs played, puck outs landed in centre field, and centre fielders contested the puck out, and there was overhead hurling because the ball was dropping and fellas just pulled, and that game is gone. It's gone, and it's not coming back. Mm. They're not going to go back to the heavier sitters, I don't believe. The ball is there now. It travels further, travels faster. It's perfect for the modern game, the way the game has evolved.
I hadn't given it too much thought, really, because you don't think about the reason for these tactical innovations. Mm. But watching Clare take pot shot after pot shot and ignoring their full forward line the other day, as a spectacle, it was kind of frustrating. I mean, maybe Babs has a point.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, I went through it there a couple of years ago again. In 1994, I have the figures here, actually.
Yeah.
In 1994, the average number of points in a championship match was 27. 10 years later, that had risen to 29. So there was no great jump there. Mm. In 2014, it was 37 points on average per game. And I haven't gone through this year's stats yet, but the Cork Tip game in the Munster Championship, the first round Munster Championship, Leo McGough, who does our stats, pointed out there were more points in that game than had ever been scored in a championship game before, ever.
Mm. Yeah.
So the game has changed fundamentally. And it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. Because of the way the ball is now, you know, that has allowed strategy to flourish.
Mm.
You couldn't really had strategy with the old ball because, as I said to you, the pinpoint puck outs, the short passing, all that stuff wasn't on the table. You know, shooting from distance, from real distance. You know, it really isn't so long ago. It really is only 15 years ago, 20 years, you know, when 65s were a big deal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like teams used to bring defenders up to take 65s. Guys with a big puck. Cork did it with John Horgan, Brian Corcoran. Clare used to do it with Sean McMahon.
Yeah.
Now a 65 is a flick for these guys. You know, scoring a point from your own half was a massive deal.
Mm.
And now it's not. I mean, it's still a tremendous piece of skill by whoever, you know, at intercounty level. But, you know, if a guy is having a shot like Tony Kelly or Colm Galvin is having a shot from their own 65, you think that's got a real chance of going over. So the game has changed fundamentally, and the ball has been fundamental to that because of, you know, this evolution from the Cork centre to the polyurethane and all the other stuff that flowed on from that, and the size of the rims. The size of the rims is key.
Yeah.
You couldn't. The rims need to be small. They need to be shallow to kind of play the kind of game that goalkeeper's playing out. And I love the modern game. I love the way the game has gone. I think the skill level now is through the roof. And nobody will convince me that hurling was better at any time in the past. I believe that the skill levels now are just off the chart, and it's fantastic to watch. And the ball has had a role in that.
So. Yeah, it's all very interesting. We'll finish on a brilliant story from Don Logue's book come up May, where they were playing Tipperary and they won a penalty against us, he says, and Owen Kelly stepped up. But we had a plan. Once we'd been awarded a penalty or we'd given away a penalty, we were to create a bit of commotion, a diversion through which we'd get the right ball in play. If we won a penalty, we'd be getting rid of the O'Neill's ball and getting one of our favoured Cummins All-Star balls into use. If we conceded a penalty, I'd get rid of the match ball in use at the time and the dud ball would be rolled in, never handed in. Rolled in so that it would just appear to be lying on the grass while waiting to be picked up. There was nothing obvious. It would just appear there. On the day Kelly picked up the dud ball, it had been a job of work for one of our men to soften it up and still have it look newish, like the O'Neill's ball. It gave me great confidence to see him pick it up. To reassure opposing players, what we used to do was write the opposing county name in marker on the ball. Tip! Owen Kelly picked up the ball, looked at it, placed it for the penalty, and I said to the boys, we've a chance here now with this. He took the penalty and we saved it. So, and there's another story about Dermot O'Sullivan running the length of the pitch against Limerick when Cork won a penalty with the proper ball shoved down his shorts.
Yeah.
So basically, Babs Keaton and UQ Cork boys are about the height of it.
Actually, I spoke to Owen Kelly once about that penalty in Barkakeith, and he said, he was having a blunder the same day. He said, as soon as I picked up the ball, I knew it was different. He says, I thought about saying something to the referee, but I was on my game that day, and my attitude was, I'll stick this anyway. I struck the ball as hard as I could, and it went in like a feather to Don Logue. The ball that they put in had bigger rims. all you're doing is hitting the rims, you're getting no power. So look, like, that's the science of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the science of it. I mean, no, people didn't think about sitters in a scientific way until Pat Daly and the guys in DCU took it on. But there is a science to it, and there's a real science to it. And I remember that match above in Thurles when Sully Randall entered the field. It was a Cork Limerick. It was an All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Yeah, 06.
With the ball. And I mean, the previous, yeah. I mean, there's been so much stuff going on over the years. I think Cork Park are getting there. They know that it's an issue. They've been driving towards a resolution for the last number of years. And I think they are getting there. And when they bring in this next year, when they bring in the microchip and the ball, that'll be another giant step forward.
Yeah. Well, somebody in the Clare camp didn't quite trust the Cork boys on Sunday. Dennis, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for that.
You're welcome.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.